The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. It is on page 103 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Allow me to read the words of God. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than that was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that through seeing they may not see, through hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Amen. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped a hundredfold, because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy." Isaac farmed and reaped a hundredfold. It was not because Isaac had used good seed varieties or had a special farming technique. It happened because the Lord blessed him. In the time of the Old Testament, having abundant inheritance was evidence of God's blessings. So we come to wonder, what about Isaac's life resulted in such blessings from God? Did he live a life worthy of such blessings? The content of chapter 26 in Genesis goes like this. The deadly famine that had occurred in Abraham's time also came in Isaac's days, 100 years later. During the famine, Isaac went to Gerar, which is a city located near the south of Canaan in Philistine, close to the Mediterranean. Isaac planned to stop by there to go to Egypt. However, God told him not to go to Egypt and stay in the land God told Isaac. 100 years ago, his father Abraham had gone to Egypt and had faced a difficulty. God was trying to prevent the same thing happening to his son. God told Isaac not to get out of Canaan, which was similar to telling him not to turn away from the word of God. God's promise was to be fulfilled in the land of Canaan. This promise was that his descendants will become numerous like the stars in the sky, and that through his descendants, many people will be blessed. So Isaac could not go to Egypt anymore and stayed in Gerar. At the time, Isaac faced a similar situation as his father Abraham. He also could not call his wife Rebekah as his wife in order to save his own life. He was afraid that people would kill him and take Rebekah away from him. But King Abimelech saw through his window as Isaac embraced Rebekah. He was caught in action by the king of Philistine. King Abimelech called Isaac and asked, "Rebekah surely is your wife. Why did you say that she is your sister?" Then Isaac said that he was afraid that he would die if he said that Rebekah is his wife. Isaac did not live a faithful life, nor abided by the word. But when he farmed, he reaped a hundredfold. Of course, it does not mean that while others farmed, they reaped 10 kilograms while Isaac reaped 1,000 kilograms, a ton. It means that Isaac reaped the best he could. Isaac tried to go to Egypt via Gerar to escape the famine, but he rather had an abundant harvest. Moreover, Isaac was not a farmer, but a cattle breeder. So he could have reaped such harvest not by his strength, but by God's providence. And the verb tense used to describe reap a hundredfold and to bless is imperfect tense. In Hebrew, the imperfect tense is used for recurrences. Thus, Isaac did not reap a hundredfold just once, but he kept on harvesting like so as long as he stayed. This was also a blessing from God. So through such blessing, Isaac could become very wealthy. God gave the same word to Abraham and Isaac and accomplished this word. Abraham and Isaac both disobeyed God's word and tried to go across the promised land down to Egypt and lied that their wives are their sisters. Nevertheless, God blessed both Abraham and his son Isaac. God speaks and delivers what he promises. Our God has such character. When we reflect on this point, we cannot help but give the praise of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 9. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? Lord, our Lord, or how majestic is your name in all the earth. Each of our lives so far and everything that we enjoy now are the result of God's blessing. If God had guided us only according to our deeds, then we would never be where we are now. As we live and as our faith grows and deepens, the more we realize how good our God is and how fortunate we are to believe in God. It was common for rabbis at the time of Jesus' public ministry to walk and convey their teachings to their disciples. But when teaching important things, they sat down and taught. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, which is covered in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, he climbed up the mountain and sat down, and disciples came forward. Jesus sat down and taught because the content of the Sermon on the Mount was very important to live as God's people and Lord's disciples. When Jesus sat by Lake Galilee, many people came. to efficiently convey the kingdom of God to these people, Jesus went on a boat to sit and spoke through parables. This is because the parable of the four types of land is also very important. There are seven parables delivered by Jesus in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew called the Parable of Heaven. Among them, the first parable that appears is the parable of seeds that fell onto four types of land. Even as Jesus delivered the kingdom of God through parables with all his heart, people responded in different ways. We have shared about three types of people in the last 3 weeks. The first was the people who received it as on the path. In Palestine at the time, there were long divided common ground that they could cultivate if they wanted to. If people divided between these divided grounds, there was a narrow, long piece of land, less than 1 meter wide, which served as a path. So the long, narrow land was hard as a pavement, and when the seeds fell there, the land could not support those seeds. Thus, such a path-like person was a person who was indifferent to the word of God's kingdom, a person who tries to ignore it, and even more, a person who does not realize it at all, even after hearing it. However, Jesus said that the reason why a man like the path reacts to the word is not because of his voluntary decisions and actions, but because the devil takes away what he had heard. So for that kind of person, the greatest adversary is the devil. The devil hates when we hear the word of God and those words take root in our lives and grow and bear fruit. So not losing spiritual sensitivity and staying alert to be conscious of God is the best way to plow path-like land. The second type of people are those who receive the word like the rocky ground where there is shallow soil. At that time, there were many places in Palestine where the soil was thinly covered with limestone rocks. When seeds fall to places like this, they sprout quickly. It's like putting wet cotton or tissue on a plate and putting seeds there. It grows much faster than planting on the ground. But that's it. The roots must stretch out and be sufficiently hydrated for the sun to make the plant grow faster. However, on a rocky ground where the soil is shallow, roots cannot stretch out, and even if there seems to be sufficient moisture at first due to rain or irrigation, it dries up quickly. Of course, the stones must be removed if the seeds sown in the shallow stone field are to bear fruit. This kind of person is moved for a second and smiles as they hear the word of God. But that's it. So he says that he was also moved by God's words in the past. But now that mind is like a rock. The biggest adversary to this kind of person is himself. He thinks that he can bear fruit in life and faith with his wisdom and ability, but he doesn't know that all humans, including himself, don't have that ability. So he is spiritually foolish. The third type is a man who receives like the land with thorns. This land has no problem, unlike the two types of land mentioned previously, the path and the rocky ground with shallow soil. Nevertheless, the reason why it cannot bear fruit is that these thorns, worldly values of worries, wealth, and entertainment in this life, prevent seeds from bearing fruit. Plants cannot grow in the land where big trees grow. This is because the big tree eats up all the nutrients in the ground. Even if it's not a big tree, if it's thick with weeds, plants he wants to grow will not thrive. If we Christians are immersed with secular values that aim for the concerns, wealth, and enjoyment of this life, it is impossible for us to live the life of God's people and as true Christians. So the world is the biggest adversary for a kind of person like the thorns. So a world represented by the devil, the selfish self, and all kinds of worldly values are objects that we have to overcome spiritually for the rest of our lives. As Jesus spoke about the parable of four types of land that seeds fell upon, Jesus spoke about the last type of people in verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." The seed that fell on good soil yields 100-fold. The parable about four types of lands in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark testify that the harvest is 100 times, 60 times, and 30 times, or 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times. Have you heard what day May 22nd is referred to as? People who trade cryptocurrency or Bitcoin online call May 22nd as the Bitcoin Pizza Day. Bitcoin was first mined in January 2009. In the first white paper released, Bitcoin was labeled as electronic cash, but few people considered it as so. It was just a way of self-satisfaction among people who liked cryptocurrency and also a kind of souvenir. The initial Bitcoin price was set according to the mining cost. We converted the price per unit based on how much it costs in a month to pay for the computer equipment, electricity, rent for space, and how many Bitcoins were mined in that month. And in the beginning, one Bitcoin was worth about $0.00076, less than 1 Korean won. 1 year later, on May 22nd, 2010, a major event occurred in the history of cryptocurrency as well as Bitcoin. For the first time in history, pizza could be bought with Bitcoin. In other words, Bitcoin was used as a means of payment. A computer programmer living in Florida in the U.S. posted that that he wanted to buy pizza with Bitcoin on the internet Bitcoin community. The posting said that he would pay 10,000 Bitcoins for 2 large pizza, so please contact if you are interested. At the time, the price of 10,000 Bitcoins was about $41, and 2 large pizzas were about $30. He wondered if he could buy food with Bitcoin. 4 days after the post, he posted a picture of 2 pizza on the table with the message, "The deal was successful." When Bitcoin proved its value as a real transaction method, the price of 10,000 Bitcoin increased to $600, about 780,000 won, 3 months later. Currently, 1 Bitcoin is about $27,370, which is equivalent to about 30.58 million won. In 2010, 2 pizzas cost about 10,000 Bitcoins, which would be equivalent to about 179 billion won for 1 pizza. Of course, Bitcoin was sometimes twice as expensive as it is now. So the price of Bitcoin has increased tens of millions of times since the beginning. If you think of 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times it mentioned in the Bible in terms of Bitcoin, you might laugh, but that's not what Jesus meant. In Mark chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Jesus spoke with farming in mind. I checked with a friend who farms. In the case of rice farming, 20 kilograms of rice seeds can be sprayed on 1,000 pyeong, equivalent to 3,300 meters squared. And if you harvest 200 pyeong, you can harvest about 4 bags or 320 kilograms of rice. The result is about 80 times greater than the seed sown. Now, farming technology is highly developed and the quality of fertilizer has improved so much that most farmers harvest similar amounts. However, in the past, farmers who knew how to farm and were good at farming harvested about 3 to 4 bags of rice from 200 pyeong. But novice farmers who did not know about farming could not harvest even 1 bag from the same sized land. In ancient times, they didn't have the same farming technology as we do now. So the results would have been quite different depending on the farmer. So it seems that 30 times that Jesus is talking about is the amount that an average farmer harvests, or a little bit less. 60 times is nearly twice the average farmer's harvest. And 100 times is about 3 to 4 times the average farmer's harvest. However, today's scripture omits 30 times and 60 times and only records 100 times to emphasize the best output, the richest harvest. After delivering this message, Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus cried out how important this message was. The meaning of shout is the same as chicken cries and to yell out. Jesus did not scream because there were many people gathered by Lake Galilee. Jesus shouted to awaken people's spirits with his words. Even if people who were there listened to the same parable of four land types, they did not hear and realize it in the same manner. Some people listened and reaped fruit, but some people didn't. Even if the audience hears a famous choir perform at the Sejong Center for the Performing Arts or the Seoul Arts Center, not everyone would hear the same thing. For someone like me who knows little about music, I would say, how nice the music is. Of course, if the song is a hymn, then I would exclaim, how gracious. And that's about it. But anyone who majors in vocal music and teaches it would hear something entirely different. They will probably listen to each part and think about it comprehensively. The same will be true of the orchestra's performance. The person who majors in each instrument will parse out the sound of the instrument. Also, one who majors in orchestral conducting will look very carefully at even the fingertips of the conductor. Some of the audience may be satisfied just for having bought expensive tickets to be sitting there. This is what happened in the movie Amadeus. At the time, ordinary people thought Mozart's music was vulgar, but Antonio Salieri found Mozart's music was at a level that he couldn't keep up with. His music was like a child's prank compared to Mozart's. He prayed earnestly to God that if he could write even one song to be as good as that of Mozart, he could put down everything he had, including his position as a court musician. Salieri's ears were different from other people's ears at the time. If I attend a seminar at a renowned physics conference, I would hardly understand what the seminar is about, even if it is conducted in Korean. Even if Einstein, who is considered the greatest physicist in history, gave a lecture in Korean, it would be almost like a sleeping pill to me. And when it comes to physics, I would realize my brain is like a stone. But it will be a wonderful time for a physics major. It is believed that the disciples felt differently when Jesus shouted with all his might. So when disciples asked about the meaning, Jesus explained what type of people bear fruit in verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Good soil is like a place where the previous three kinds of land have been turned upside down. Listening with a good heart means receptivity. A path-like road cannot be accommodated even if the word falls upon it. In other words, people are determined to not listen to it from the moment as they listen to it, so it can't be heard. To keep means to hold tight. Moreover, a rocky ground with shallow soil is a place where even if the seed sprouts, it cannot be rooted due to a lack of soil. So the ground can't firmly hold on to the roots of plants. The original meaning of perseverance is to stay below. Even if secular values such as thorns pass by, you don't try to hold on to them, but you hold on to the seeds and endure them. That's all we must do. Then the Lord does what is needed to bear fruit. This is what the Lord said in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If we swallow and struggle to keep the word in our hearts, borrowing the expression of the Gospel of John, if we stick to the Lord, then the seed will bear the fruit of countless lives and the fruit of truth in our lives, because that seed is the word of truth and the word of eternal life. As I've told you before, I realized that God called me to become a pastor through the words of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength. In the first year of high school, I met the Lord personally in the spring semester. I became convinced that Jesus was hung on the cross to rescue me forever and to give me eternal life. I also acknowledged how terrible a sinner I was, how I lived without recognizing God as God, and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord, my God. The assistant pastor who served middle and high school students at the time suggested to me that I study theology and become a pastor. I flatly refused. I hated being poor, so I wanted to make a lot of money regardless of what I would become. So I thought theology had nothing to do with me. Thus I just heard it and forgot about it. However, why don't you study theology and become a pastor kept coming to my mind. And in autumn of the same year, while reading the Bible in the corner of the chapel, I couldn't read past Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. I realized that I came to know the Lord and accept him as my Savior, not because I was spiritual or intelligent, but because God gave me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and brightened the eyes of the heart. And I think God was saying, do you know why I called you? Do you know how much reward is in store for you through the work I will entrust to you? I said at the time, God, I'm timid, and there's nothing I can do well. Then God said, I'm not telling you to do it with your own power. I will be there with you with my great strength to help you. I couldn't resist anymore, so I asked God one more question. God, there are so many pastors in the world. Why should I be a pastor? What do you want me to do? God answered, although there are many believers in Korea, I wish their faith would be more mature. Will you do that for me? I was never a bright kid. But since then, God helped me to realize the meaning behind the word, and I can't express in words about the amazing grace that He has shown me. I think I, Jung Hanjo, is the sample of Jesus' words 100 times more than was sound. So if there is any spiritual benefit to our church members through me, and if the sermon has any influence on your life, then it is entirely by God's work, not by my works. It is because the Word of God is the Word of life. Today is the fourth week of Lent, which commemorates Easter by meditating on the suffering of the Lord. Jesus is still shouting today, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." With a kind and good heart, He is telling you to retain it, persevere to the end, and make it 100 times more fruitful. And God promises that He'll make it happen if you embrace the word and retain it. What kind of land should we put the seed of God's word on is purely our choice. And we are going to reap the results. If each of us retain the seed of God's word through the grace of the Lord, who has overcome the world and persevered to the end, Easter will be a season of life-filling grace beyond hardship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, we heard the voice of the Lord shouting at us through the parable of seeds scattered on the four types of lands. We confess that we are often indifferent to the fruit of life and the fruit of truth, even if the Lord calls out to us like the rooster crying with all its might to announce the dawn, and as Paul the Apostle so earnestly appealed to the prison guards in Philippi. We used to think that our thoughts and the path we lay out are more important than respecting and following God's words, and thought our ways are right. In addition, obeying God's words was considered outdated, and following the world's trends and world values seemed so much wiser and quicker than following God's word. Thus, we confess that our lives are full of such embarrassments. Once again, we aim to hold on to the word of God and cherish it by retaining it. May the Lord who has overcome the world let us win too. May our lives testify that the way to win forever is by holding on to the word, even if it may seem unwise and results in falling behind at that moment. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.